Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
We here to talk about this, boys. The state loss just happened. 25 in the nation just got upset by USF.
Hey, we here to talk about losses.
Yeah, we damn sure ain't talking about the Cincinnati-Nebraska game tonight.
Hey, that's next. That's next, man. Y'all check that out. We had a live commentary, Cincinnati-Nebraska. Go over to Boise State loss.
The boys lost all right, man.
Man, yeah, so let's not bury the lead. I was wondering why the chat was going crazy. I'm in commute. I was in commute earlier today, and right now I'm in a remote location recording because it's breaking news, emergency podcast, because apparently
he had a Waffle House right now recording.
Damn sure not Cracker Barrel. But yeah, man, apparently when I checked my phone, I saw that it looked like Parsons got traded, and then it was confirmed that Parsons got traded to the Packers of all people. So anyway, yeah, man, the Dallas Cowboys traded Michael Parsons. So let's jump into this thing real quick. This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inch. Joining me on the show, we have a celebratory cue with balloons and everything in the back.
Cuban owns since 8:30. Cuban waiting backstage since 8:30. I just want y'all to know that.
I'm showing up to my haters' funeral. I'm ready for this kid. I'm ready.
Cuban owes us 8:30.
Oh man, got all black on. I'm ready to go. It's early.
And we got Nick and of course Spike. I was gonna say loser Spike, but I think that's harsh for you, bro. But I know that's he how lost. You feel right now, bro.
Hey, Lou, I had to tap into my own moonshine for you, but I was drinking with you.
I was gonna text you to send me some of that. Like, I need some of the moonshine. Hey, the balloons anyway. Is nasty, Q. We gotta put our foot down, man. We need some type of uniformity for these backgrounds. Q can't just keep showing up like these bullshit with these bullshit backgrounds. Yeah, you can't do it.
I'm here to bring the drama, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, man,
Get him a dead end sports background. We don't need no more of the bullshit.
Mm-hmm. So Parsons. We've talked about this drama all off season, and today we have a resolution. The four-time Pro Bowl edge rusher was traded to the Green Bay Packers on Thursday, which is today at the time of this recording. In exchange, the Cowboys got three-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle Kenny Clark and two first-round picks in 26 and 27. Parsons agreed to a four-year, $188 million contract with the Packers that includes $120 million fully guaranteed at signing and $136 million in total guarantees, making him the highest-paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Parsons released a statement on social media Thursday saying, in part, "I never wanted this chapter to end, but not everything was in my control. My heart has always been here, and it still is. Through it all, I never made any demands. I never asked for anything more than fairness. I only asked that the person I trust to negotiate my contract be part of the process." And that's where we are. So, Lou.
What does that last statement mean to y'all? Before you come to me, I only ask that the person who I asked to negotiate my contract take part in the process? Why you think he threw that in there?
Was the did he not allow the rep to be part of it? His agent?
I feel like it's more so dealing with like the way negotiations are supposed to be. They were not done that way. Based off the rumors we heard was that, you know, Jerry was just talking to Micah and not trying to talk to his agent, who I believe is the same agent that got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins deal done as well. So he's been on a fucking roll. And I think he's also, he's definitely also the agent that got Deshaun Watson his full money too. So he, if I was an NFL player, I'm definitely signing with his agency because he getting his motherfuckers paid. But I feel like it was just more so on that statement sounds like it was just more Jerry not doing the proper negotiation program and trying to do shit, you know.
I have no idea what that statement means. I mean, Michael should have been paid. Obviously, we're going to get to that. But it's like that statement doesn't really mean much to me. I just seem like he just wanted to let like a press release out there, I guess. So it seems a little confusing.
The statement in all didn't mean much to me. I do agree with you there, Q. But I do take a lot of credence into that last part of it. That last part where I want to let the representation that I hired represent me. Michael Young, he made a mistake by negotiating with Jerry solo. He should have never done that. And I think that he gave Micah the wink and the nod deal, like, take the 5 years. I know that's going to put us in control of you for 6 years with the franchise tag, but I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make sure that you're eating good because you're a Dallas Cowboy. And I think the agent heard that and was like, nah, we doing 4 or 3. Because the next 6 years for somebody the age of Michael Parsons and the caliber player that he is, he's not going to get another contract. But if I do 4 years, if I do 3 years, I'm going to get another big contract. And I think that they got hung up on that. And Jerry thought that he was slick in negotiating Micah into agreeing verbally to 5 years. And the agent was like, no, there's no way we're taking 5 years. And then they got hung up on that, and then it became a pride issue. Because we seen Green Bay gave him the 4 years. It's fine. We'll give you the 4. Now Michael don't trust Dallas, and yeah. I ain't trusting you with the next 6 years of my career. I think there was a lot of context to that last sentence in that statement.
Lou, you were pretty adamant or confident, I should say, that a deal would be done.
Mm-hmm. I was.
How shocked were you when you saw the news? And what was your reaction?
I had to take a walk, Ken. I had to go take a walk. The first text that I got, because my phone been going crazy. The first text that I got was like, all shit, all exclamation points, no context. and then the alert came through. And I was like, oh, okay. That's
what they like the second about. Plane hit the building.
Yeah, exactly. The second 9/11 plane hit the building and the confirmation was there. And I was like, I couldn't believe, even though I know that Jerry, I've expressed it plenty of times on here of what I think of Jerry. I still couldn't believe that they let a player like Michael, like that they would be open. Like, there is no trade that you could give me for Michael Parsons other than I robbed you and you know it. I just wanted Michael Parsons. That couldn't happen. So when I seen it, I was like, okay, well, what we get for him, it had to be a haul. And then I seen what we got for him, and it was like, that's it? Like, Herschel Walker was a mid-tier running back, and you got a I don't even want to talk about what you got for him.
You don't even have to look at Herschel. You can look
people
at
people trying to compare this to Herschel Walker. It's like, no, bro. Like, did I read off these?
That's not the one. That's not the right comparison. Is the right comparison is the one that I've been. Yeah, that's the one that people have been floating
that's
around.
That's the right one. And even in that trade, Khalil Mack got more. And I feel like Michael Parsons is a much, no disrespect to Khalil Mack. He was good and impactful. Michael Parsons is generational.
Nah, I'm not going that far, Lou. Khalil Mack was all pro at two positions, bro.
Michael Parsons is generational, bro.
Let's not. I'm not trying to have this be that conversation.
Bro, Khalil Mack is right here. Khalil Mack is right here. Michael Parsons is up here.
Didn't Khalil Mack win Defensive Player of the Year?
Is he going to the Hall of Fame?
Over if it's between Michael Parsons and Khalil Mack, yes, Khalil Mack's going to the Hall of Fame.
Khalil Mack is not going to the Hall of Fame. Michael Parsons is.
That's nuts to say. With no accolades.
Accolades? Let's just let him get his pain out.
Yeah, okay. I'm not trying to have
Go ahead.
Y'all acting like, because you making it seem like Khalil Mack is Kenny Clark.
I'm making it seem like Michael Parsons is fucking Derek Thomas, Lawrence Taylor, he's not that elk.
He's not.
We can't have a conversation because you know that's not true. He's the best defensive player in the league.
He's the best young defensive player in the league. That doesn't mean he's a Hall of Famer. What has he done that is Hall of Famer? He's going to be a Hall of Famer,
especially now since he's in Green Bay and they're going to win Super Bowls. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
If he does,
I'll pencil that in.
All I'm saying is for me, this trade, I mean, getting Kenny Clark and two first round picks, which based off the trajectory the Green Bay Packers have been for the last two seasons, those are going to be 15-32. So it's bottom half of the draft. So you're not getting a Micah Parsons replacement. And then Kenny Clark.
Where was Micah drafted?
Micah was drafted 10th or 12th.
First round.
So he wasn't even drafted in the bottom 15. But and that was.
But you could trade two first rounds to move up in the draft, though.
Yeah, but I don't think you would trade two first. I don't think you would receive two first round picks just to give up two first round picks for a player.
Mm-mm. No, you got to remember.
I mean, for a young player, not it could be an established player, but not a drafty. You know what I mean?
No, what I'm saying though is that now Dallas is armed with two first round picks in any given draft, or I don't know the years of the draft.
Two drafts.
26, 27.
So the next two drafts. So even if the Green Bay pick is a 15 or let's say 17. Overall, and let's say Dallas is
they're gonna be good. It's not 15, yeah, 16, it's gonna be in the 20s.
They're gonna be good, bro.
Okay, fine. Even in the 20s, Dallas is gonna be between 15 and 20 as well. There's teams out there that would take that would trade two first rounds in the same draft to move up. So if you have somebody that you feel that you can trade up to go replace Micah, you have the ammunition this year and in future drafts to do that. So no it's Michael not Parsons. A bad trade from that.
It ain't no Michael Parsons in the pipeline, bro. Like that's you dismissing that. No, you said that in the chat, and I want to address it. You're dismissing. Mm-hmm. You're saying, "Oh, I can get another Michael Parsons." Michael Parsons is in year four.
I didn't say that.
He didn't come into the league being this dominant player that he is. He's now, after 4 years, established himself as the best defensive player in the league. Arguing,
and I understand that.
That can argue with him.
I understand that.
I can't get that in the draft. I can't.
You know why you can? You know why you can, Spike? Because every year there's a very talented player that slides for whatever reason.
Not to the bottom, not 15 and below. I get what you mean.
I think the biggest disconnect for all of us having this conversation is Micah Parsons is generational talent to me. I don't think he is that to y'all.
I think he's on the cusp, but generational. No. Wait, hold on, Spike. Generational talents are good throughout whatever they ask him to do. Michael Parsons has gaps in his game. One of them being the run defense. Like he's barely good at run defense. Elite or generational means that niggas can't stop you. Niggas can't stop Myles Garrett, bro. Like that nigga generational. JJ Watt, generational. Both of them on the same tier as them. He's slightly below. Michael Parsons, bro, y'all doing theatrics now.
It's like you talked about with receivers. There's a frog hair thin line between Michael Parsons, Myles Garrett, and TJ Watt.
That's a horse tail.
There's a half a level. It's not even a full level, Spike, but there's a half a level difference between those two and Micah.
It's a half a level, bro.
Hold on, and let me go back to the draft capital portion of this whole trade. In my opinion, right, if you are going to give up somebody, and we just watched the documentary, right, we saw what the Cowboys got for Herschel Walker, right? It was five draft picks. They traded five players, but if they cut those five players, it turned into draft picks. It turned into draft compensation. All I'm saying is that the Cowboys have been top-heavy and very thin Now, I have been giving Jerry Jones a lot of credit on drafting talent. They do have talent, but they don't have a lot of it because they've wheeled and dealed. They moved up in other drafts. They lost draft picks, this, that, and the third. But now you have an opportunity. Yeah, we may have lost a borderline generational talent guy, but we can replace and add so much more to the cupboard, and that's not even including free agency. So, bro, look at what the Rams have been able to do with that defense over the last two drafts. And then also look at what the Eagles have been able to do in the last 3-4 drafts. And they're never drafting hot. And yeah, they're never drafting hot.
I mean, I don't agree
with that
premise. Man, you wilding.
It's 42 picks, bro. Like you brought up the Herschel Walker trade,
but it's four first round picks in 2 years. It's
that's
four
right.
first
that's
round picks in 2 years.
That's saying that you're gonna suck if you get a top pick. Who wants
the
Packers?
Packers pick. The Packers pick is gonna be probably mid-20s, right?
Yeah, like, right. We're assuming that based off average.
Yeah, unless things go horrible.
Okay.
If I'm trying to compete as a Cowboy, I would think my pick gonna be mid-20s too. So what does two first round 20 picks give me as a franchise who I can build depth with my roster? It don't. The Herschel Walker trade, it was 3 years they had a first. It was 3 years they had a second. It was 3 years they had a fifth or a sixth. These were 8 picks.
It was in the same draft, Spike. First and foremost, it was in the same draft.
3 years. They got 3 years worth of picks from the Herschel Walker trade. They got
first five
round picks.
Picks
in 3 years.
Either way, how did they get the all-time leading running back, all-time leading rusher? Right. It was part of the Herschel Walker trade. And he was about to be drafted number 17.
Trade,
I'm not saying that, Spike, but if you have two first round picks, you can trade both of those to move up to get a guy that is falling on your board is all I'm saying. And at the end of the day, there's always one or a handful of players that fall in the draft. Jalen Carter, if you redrafted, he'd be top three.
But he was
what
top
are we
10.
Talking about?
But he was top 10 in the Eagles.
Right.
Remind me, how did the Eagles even get to top 10 at that point?
Because he had conditioning issues and everyone was
like... No, I mean, like, how did they get
no, he had off the field 10? Issues.
No, oh,
he had off the field issues.
Was that a trade somewhere else?
Yeah, how we had a pick that we got from, like, I think it was from the Carson Wentz trade.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't based off of y'all, because y'all went to the Super Bowl that your previous...
The point I'm making, listen to my words,
what he was saying,
is that there's going to be players that are going to be drafted lower mm-hmm. than where they should have been drafted.
So
and now you have two picks to move up potentially 5 to 10 spots to get the guy that you feel that would fit.
So essentially, yeah, to piggyback off of that, to simply put it, FIFO is saying that there's value here to add onto the team. And Spike is coming from a Cowboys standpoint of, I don't want to hear that shit. And I think that you got to respect both positions because – as a Cowboys fan, who, if you're a Micah loyalist, your position is he is the person you're trying to find right now. He's the person that you're trying to find. He's the person that you would be trying to find. If you are an agnostic to the Cowboys, you have a fan of a different team, or you're just, you know what I'm saying, just a person who understands sports management a little bit, I think you're looking at it from the standpoint of those four picks that you have, the sliders that FIFO is talking about. It might equal out to be a Michael Parsons level player if you get like a defense of, you know what I'm saying, a Jared Verse type guy. Like Jared Verse is on the cusp of being one of the better, if not already one of the best, you know what I'm saying, defensive players in the league. If you find the Max Crosbys, if you find those guys, and then maybe finally get some help in the secondary that you need, maybe it'll equal out to the payment that you needed to get a Michael Parsons. The issue is for me, Jerry Jones and that management, are they strong enough and do they have enough continuity and do they have enough, you know what I'm saying, intelligence to know how to draft these guys? And I think that the record is a little bit shaky on that. And that's what puts, if you're a Cowboys fan, that faith in jeopardy of, do I like this payout? And I wouldn't be ecstatic, but I would want to see how this plays out.
Yeah, I'm not ecstatic for the Cowboys. I told you that this was a possibility, him getting traded. He said that he was not going to play for the Cowboys. And you and your fan, oh, no, of course he's going to play in this, that, and the third. Yeah. Nigga, we just saw Luka get traded, bro. This is a different.
This is real sport.
Spike, Spike, look, 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 Spike. This is business. At the end of the day, we're talking about dudes that in the next decade are going to be earning damn near $1 billion contracts, bro. This is big business. And at the end of the day, people are going to move on from people. Like, if we see nothing else in this era of professional sports, is that people will get redrafted, right? Quarterback. We saw with Kyler Murray a handful of years ago. They drafted a dude top three, or if not top, and then they drafted Kyler Murray literally the year after. People will move on from assets and commodities way faster now than they did before. Much.
I was going to say, for me, and I know we got to talk about the Packers side of things, but to me, this is weird because there's been a lot of contracts that have been going on since January till now about those who got signed. I'm shocked by this because we know most of these players, they ask for trades, they never get them, and they end up being signed. To me, this, like, I don't know if this is hitting you like this, Lou, but this is like if the Bengals, during their contract negotiations with Jamar, they just ended up trading him to a team that they recently played in the playoffs and lost to, which is the Chiefs. And let's say they just traded him to the Chiefs or some shit like that.
No, nigga, if they traded him to the Steelers for, like, motherfucking Pat Freiermuth or some shit.
And two first-round picks. And it's like, yeah, to Fipo's point, yeah, we got two first-round picks, and we can probably do something down the line. You know, it's wide receivers get drafted all the time the last few years, and they've been balling. But, like, there's really only one Jamar. And I get what you're saying, Lou. There's one Micah. I'm just more shocked that they traded him to that team, though. It's mm-hmm. like usually with these type of trades, you trade them in out of the conference, so you don't have to see them again.
Like I thought that he was at least going to be in Baltimore, to the Patriots.
Or Buffalo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Kansas City, Buffalo, anything. But this is a team that I play. We played them in Week 4.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is somebody that's on our schedule, and I think the biggest disconnect that I have from the rest of the panel is I think Michael Parsons is a lot better than you guys do. You said he borderline generational talent. I think he is generational talent.
But we all agree that he's top five at his position. So we all agree that he's one of the best, like top 20 players in the league. Period.
Yeah, sure.
We just disagree as far as certain. That's what I'm saying. Let's not get over on that.
All right.
But what I'm just saying is more of like the fact of with. Regardless, he's a top player, and they traded him to a team that they not only have a rivalry with, but they have a you know what I'm saying? Like that's nuts.
I agree with you with that, and that it is nuts. What I'm saying about Dallas and them getting them picks, and why I don't think they're as valuable as people are stating they are, is it's like a needle in a haystack drafting somebody like Michael Parsons. It just so happened that he fell to them. It just so happened that, like Ken was saying. Enough people thought, oh, he might have bad character, bad work ethic. I ain't taking him. But other people were saying he's the best player in this draft. If you fall to him, he's lucky. That ain't going to happen again in the next 10 years for the Cowboys. Yeah, you can draft. I disagree with y'all as far as the GM and of the Cowboys. I think they put a good team together. They've had a team on the field for the last 10 to 15 years that can compete. It's been coaching that ain't got them over the hump. So now if I got a team that can compete and I know I can draft good players, that still doesn't mean I can find a Michael Parsons. And that was the biggest issue for me in this trade and why I thought it was dumb, because this is like finding Saquon Barkley. This is like finding Patrick Mahomes. And you trade that away? That's crazy.
I mean,
you're not excited about Kenny Clark.
I don't give a fuck about Kenny Clark, Ken.
No,
I will say this. We do. He going to help us. Our biggest problem is stopping the run.
He coming Michael off his worst season.
He is. Q, I'll give you that. But we don't have anyone else. Mozzie Smith not going to get it done at defensive tackle for the Cowboys. So Kenny Clark is a answer to us stopping the run up the middle. But there is no impact player now on that defense. It's not Diggs. It ain't none of the linebackers. It ain't nobody else on the defensive line unless one of the rookies step up. So now you're talking about the defensive tackle that we got from the Packer, who's a run stopper, is going to be the key to our defense. That's crazy.
Who's going to replace Parsons? Who do you think?
Nobody.
Kenny Smith. I mean, but who do you got nobody being able to fill in that position?
We drafted a rush or edge linebacker. He did well in camp. He did well in preseason, but he's not Michael Parsons. He can be effective. He can get 7 or 8 sacks. Great season. Maybe he gets 10, but he's not Michael Parsons. The defense is that, like, what they doubled down on having a terrible defense, and we're going to hope that Pickens and C.D. Lamb can guide us through. Like, they've given up on defense.
It's Mike.
Hey, block Jay.
Hey, we lining up. We lining up. Big packs in the air, dog.
That nigga in a parking garage.
Jalen just got he in the middle of a sneaky link.
he definitely in some apartment. He definitely in some apartment. What's him to call the garage?
I am. I'm about to go handle some business, but I just want to say, hey to Spike. I wish you the best, man.
I don't want to hear your haze, nigga. Get him out of here. Don't let Jalen come in unless we accept him. I don't want to hear your haze, nigga.
Hey, we smoking that Jerry pack today, bro. I ain't like, you know what I mean? Like, come on now.
Well, finally aged 92 years. That Jerry pack.
This is the first time I've ever thought about not being a fan. This is the first time I've ever thought about
it. Boy, that shit loud, man. People, I tell you.
Yeah, I was going to get to that, Lou. But go ahead. You want to talk about the Packers, Nick?
Yeah, because we got to talk about the winners of this trade. I keep forgetting how young this Packers team is, which makes sense for why they had the money to. I mean, $188 million. What's the annual average is $47 million a year. I think at the time he was getting $41 or $42 million a year was like a great deal. So they ballooned that, and his guaranteed money is solid. But to me, while the Packers do lose some of that interior defensive line with Kenny Clark, I'm not trying to say he's a bum or anything, but like he was good. But what they got now, they ready to win now. And honestly, if Jordan Love, I know someone in the chat talking about all these ifs. If Jordan Love can just stay healthy and play like how he did, not last season, but 2 seasons ago, that second half of that year, this Packer team is going to be winning for a while. And I think that they, with Matt LaFleur, are going to be super dangerous in the NFC. I think, again, the Eagles are still the favorites. But, man, the Packers look mean right now.
I mean, luckily we still got Lane Johnson, so we ain't really worried about that Micah shit. But when it comes to the Packers in their division, I think you kind of got to give them the edge now over the other teams. I mean,
even Detroit?
Over Detroit, for sure. I think this is a game wrecking thing. You know what I mean? This is a game wrecker. You know what I mean? That's the difference. You know what I'm saying? Is if we're grading the value for the Packers, I still want to see them address their offense. I don't necessarily love the skills positions, guys. I like Josh Jacobs, of course, and I like Jordan Love. But, you know, the receivers leave a little bit – not a little bit. They leave a lot to be desired for me just in terms of playoff scenarios. But you're going to hope that you're going to probably do run first now with Josh Jacobs in the second year. I'm pretty sure that Matt LaFleur is going to have different wrinkles for that offense to let Jordan Love be a little bit more comfortable finally having that featured running back. And then now that you got a guy that can just get downhill like Micah, you're just hoping that this impacts, you know, time of possession. It allows for the defense to either get quick scores, fumbles, turnovers. You know what I'm saying? You can't really block, you know, Micah Parsons all games. He's going to get one or two that just, you know what I'm saying, turn the tide of a possession or a drive. Hopefully those will be critical for the Packers. But in the division, for sure, I give it an A-plus for them in terms of just the audacity of the move. I thought it was going to be Baltimore or New England. But, yeah, man, this is this was not the team I saw him going to, but I'm really shocked that Green Bay kind of bucked tradition here and just swung for it. This is kind of like a Reggie White move for them.
Agree. And I think for Green Bay, it says that we're serious. Like you spoke to, Q, we got the quarterback that we want. Josh Jacobs is an elite running back. Our defense line is good. The only questions that we have are at receiver. And we can kind of nullify that with having a really good defense and a really good run game and a quarterback that we believe in. I think that this move set the Packers up for the next couple of years as to where, why am I worried about a first-round pick? I got the team in place that I need. I've been doing well over the last couple of years. I'm just waiting on my quarterback to mature. So for them getting a playmaker and a disruptor like Micah Parsons, like this is icing on the cake for them. They was already competing.
On top of that, when it comes to the money wise, they're not really paying nobody but Jordan Love because they gave up on Jair. All the, like you mentioned, Q, all their receivers are either still on their rookie deal or not good enough to really warrant a big second year contract or second time contract. You're really just paying Jordan Love and Micah Parsons. And that's the two positions you would pay for anyway when it comes to quarterback and pass rusher. So by the time Parsons' deal is up and you got to pay somebody else, you should have, at least in their mind, have been to an NFC Championship game or a Super Bowl.
Parsons got a 3-year extension, years. Right? 4 years.
Four years.
And I could franchise tag him. That's 5 years.
So he's going to be like what?
He's there.
He's 3 years younger than TJ Watt and
early 30s.
Who else? Yeah. And Miles Garrett. The contract is over. Yeah, he's 3 years younger than TJ Watt and Miles Garrett.
That's a nice little re-up to end his career in Philadelphia. That's just going to be nice.
He's going to be washed by then, hopefully.
He's so hopefully wishing on downfall that man body. That's crazy.
You know, I'm praying on your downfall.
Nah.
Going back to the NFC North, though,
mm-hmm.
I do feel like, you know, I fuck with Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love most out of anybody in that division. But I do feel like it is still shocking that y'all say that even this move alone pushed them over Detroit.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because Detroit has a lot of losses. Obviously, not necessarily on the field, but bro, like you're talking about arguably the two best coordinators in the sport that left for head coaching jobs. That is going to be a big difference, and we already saw it somewhat in preseason. I'm not saying that this is what they're going to look like, but the Lions' offense didn't look as cohesive as they have been, and they still have the same guys. So there's going to be an adjustment period. And the main reason why I feel like this bumps them over is because Aiden Hutchinson is coming back from injury, right? Yep. They lost Ben Johnson. What does that do to Jared Goff? Like, is this the Jared Goff that we saw that was extremely mediocre and got, you know, they booted him from LA, you know what I'm saying? Or St. Louis at the time, I don't know where they was. Are we going to get that Jared Goff? Are we going to get the same Jared Goff? But at the end of the day, we know that O-line is now going to be tested on both sides. Rayshon Gary is no punk. You know what I'm saying? And now you pack that in with you partner him with Micah Parsons on the other side. There's a lot of things that a competent defensive coordinator can do to scheme that up. I don't give a damn how good your O-line is, especially if you don't got Ben Johnson.
And so right now, the Packers defensive line starting line in their base 4-3 would be Rashawn Gary on the left, Mike on the right. The defensive tackles would be Devontae Wyatt and Carl Brooks.
And that's that interior line, it ain't that good.
I like matter. Brooks here and there. Brooks was all right in that playoff.
They're good enough to have those two superstars on the outside of them.
Spike, for you guys, you have Marshawn Nealon. Is that the guy you were talking about?
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, it was an African guy that I was talking about. Got another.
Osa Edigazua.
Him. Yeah, he had a good. Okay. He had a good training camp and a good preseason.
What happened to number 13?
Dante Fowler. That's who.
What about number 13? That's on y'all team. You know what I'm talking about. His name is.
I mean, he's still a good linebacker. He's too small though. Yeah. We don't have like. He weighs 200 pounds. He's playing linebacker. Like, we don't have anybody in the middle that can stop the run. I understand why we got that player back from the Packers. I don't think that he's going to be the solution, though. Like, there's more work that has to be done up the middle. Like, since we lost to the Packers 2 years ago, that's been the lowest, weakest point of our team. It ain't been addressed. They tried to address it here. But what they gave away with Micah and being able to play multiple positions, it just takes away. Like it was a step forward and a step back.
Man. So, and this is the guy you're talking about.
Our defense is going to be really bad.
Donovan
is a rocker.
And to go back to the NFC North, you have a statue quarterback in Jared Goff. You have a skittish quarterback in Caleb Williams.
Rookie QB.
And then you have a super rookie QB in JJ McCarthy. Adding a pass rush to all three of those quarterbacks is going, And of course the Bears offensive the Bears offensive line, even though they say they've quote unquote revamped it, it's still fresh and new. They haven't played together, so getting
good though.
Luckily they played. Luckily they played the Packers in later on in the season, so they should get some continuity then. But
those three interior linemen. Number one, the interior line is typically like they gel quicker than the tackles do. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, they are veterans, and number three, it is Ben Johnson. And I'm not trying to say Ben Johnson is the savior of everything.
You are.
I'm not. What I'm saying is I'm going off of what we saw previously. I'm going off of history of the offense. What we seen him do with the Lions was they revamped that O-line to be the best O-line in the game, and he coached the hell out of them. And he also was super creative. Again, when that first series, I can't remember against what team that they whooped, that looked like a Ben Johnson offense. Fast, on time, O-line. And again, I understand that it's preseason.
He cussed the whole team out the next week.
Hey, Nick. Yeah. Nick, you saying
that. Ben Johnson's that guy, though.
Hey, Nick, you saying that. You know, people see somebody having a heart attack in public, and people go, "Is there a Ben Johnson in the house?" Like,
they keep talking about Ben Johnson like he done something.
He deserves,
and he has. He don't deserve shit. Deserve is a
Ben strong Johnson word. Has you shown
give,
a lot of.
Bro, you give your head coach credit, and he ain't
because he went
shit.
To a Super Bowl.
He ain't done shit,
and
Ben Johnson has done.
I do think we need to pump the brakes a little bit on Ben Johnson, but I think that he's great in what he's done so far. But like, we do gotta start acting.
We just gotta see it.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that, but I do think he got the credentials for us to look at him like, oh, we expect you to succeed.
We should expect it, and if he don't, then we say
that he don't, and Nick acting like he hasn't.
No, but Lou, the funny thing about you is you pick and choose on who you give hope for, or who you give like I'll give this person grace because it's same sport but different levels professionally in college. You don't give a damn about what Arch Manning has done. You're like, I gotta see it to believe it. But with Ben Johnson, when you seen him fuck up as the first overall, so you see Ben Johnson fuck up and lose a game by having Jameis, a wide receiver who was fucking the ground probably two plays before that, throw the ball to an interception, and then you're gonna say, oh, well, he's gonna get it right because he's Ben Johnson. What the fuck is Ben Johnson? If they won a Super Bowl, then yes, I give you credence because as a coordinator, he would have been the one that got the most credit outside of Dan Campbell being the culture change. But they didn't do shit. They lost to a rookie at home. So to me, it's like let me see what he does with Caleb because he was just cussing out Caleb just a couple weeks ago. Like Ken said,
goddamn,
Nick, he cussed him out. He praised him the week they went 38-0, and then the week after that, he cussed the whole team out again.
Like a toxic.
So he got some issues to deal with in terms of culture setting. That's the fucking Lions. Well, we don't need to be talking about the fucking Lions.
Yeah, all I'm saying is the Packers. This is their shout out to the Bees. This is their division to lose right now.
The expectations are high. You can't get Micah Parsons and not win the division.
Exactly.
Period. I got Micah Parsons. I got the quarterback that I think is going to win it. The only weakness that they have, because I think they have the best coach in the NFC probably, the only weakness that they have is that wide receiver. Who?
And we got to look at LaFleur. What is LaFleur going to do with this? Like
Kevin O'Connor. The Vikings coach.
LaFleur is, to me, he's more of – he's more of a defensive minded head coach. And
he's not. He's an offensive guy.
Well, I'm saying like those Packers teams that went to the championship game with Rodgers, they were mostly led by their defense when it came down to it.
But he's an offensive guy, though.
Yeah, he's an offensive guy. But like I'm saying, like he's an offensive guy, but he's still the head coach, so he has to manage both sides. He's done the defensive well for an offensive coach.
This is just ultimately what they needed, though. Just like I said, to be able to send a guy up the field like every other snap, you know what I'm saying, that can get home. He's going to get home twice or three times that are truly impact plays. You know what I'm saying? He's going to blow up a running back. He's going to get his hand on the football. He's going to strip back somebody. Or he's going to tackle for a loss on a critical down, a critical time in the game because he knows what time it is on some Aaron Donald shit. And I think that
if you're in the NFC, you know, if you're the Eagles, if you're the Commanders, if you're the Lions, the Vikings, you have to have this circled on your bulletin board when the Packers come to town. And, like, really, the first game when we played the Packers last year, of course it was in that terrible Brazilian turf, but I noticed immediately that their pass rush wasn't what it should have been, even though they did play a pretty solid game. Once we got to the playoffs, it was even, like, more noticeable that their pass rush was not what it should be. We just had so much time to, like, throw the ball. Jalen Hurts had, like, 5 to 10 seconds damn near on some throws. On the first touchdown, dude was wide open after, like, 13 seconds in the pocket. It was crazy. So if you add in a Michael Parsons to that situation, get Jordan Love healthy, add in some more continuity with Josh Jacobs for the second year there, I think that you have a recipe for true belief in what you can do this year, and there's really no excuse. And also another caveat is that this is a window now for the Packers because you can add in more talent in the draft, you can make your defense better, and you hope that you go get at least a number one semi-wide receiver if a guy doesn't develop this year.
Yeah, I definitely think we definitely need to be looking. I think expectations for Matt LaFleur have definitely
but he's proven that he can at least get you with a good quarterback, above average quarterback. He can at least
get you. What will he get you?
To a championship game. That's what I'm saying.
Like,
to me,
he needs
that,
to get you to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but Ben Johnson and the Detroit Lions went into the championship game, didn't it? We don't give a fuck about that, right?
Yeah, but
at least y'all say it. Y'all don't.
No, I'm saying that
Nick don't. Be clear, Ken. Don't say y'all.
I'm saying we've seen Matt LaFleur be a head coach and go to two championship games. We haven't Ben Johnson go as a head coach to anything yet.
Well, not Ben Johnson, but
that's what I'm saying. I have more faith.
Dan Campbell and his crew. But nevertheless, I think regardless, it's Super Bowl now, right?
It's Super Bowl
championship game.
Yeah, Super Bowl expectations for the Packers.
Not with this team, though.
Not yet.
Yes, with
this
team.
Wait a minute.
What are you talking about? I don't think one of the best coaches. They got one of the top QBs. They have one of the premier pass rushers in the league. It's Super Bowl.
But it's not expected, though. They're Super Bowl contenders. No. They can contend, but they're not expected to make it. Come on, Spike.
People like the Chiefs, the Ravens, who's going to beat them in the NFC? The Eagles.
The Eagles and the Rams.
That's what I'm saying. The Eagles are still favored. I can't say Super Bowl.
Good rebuttal, but I'm wondering, where do you have Green Bay in that list of rankings? You got the Eagles first.
They're top four.
They're definitely top three to top five.
Who's second? The Packers.
I would say
the Packers, but I would say
that's either, number two in the NFC.
I would say either the Packers or the Commanders. You gotta go off with those.
The Commanders are not going to do well this year.
Y'all didn't expect them to do well last year, and they did. The NFC is more open than their games
were too close. They're not going to do good this year. I'm telling you, they're not going to do good this year. They're not going to be better than Green Bay.
A lot is riding on Christian McCaffrey's health. A lot is riding on that. It's just like, we got to see. I don't know, but I do think that you could make the case that even though they are the second favorite, the expectation is not that they should get the Super Bowl. The expectation is that, this is the Eagles. Like,
they should be competing for a Super Bowl.
Fine. So basically,
competing is different. They're a contender. They're not expected.
So if I can see, Super Bowl. Right. I'm with you, Spike. But if I can see their point,
okay,
then this trade really don't mean shit.
No, it means I want to know what Ken means when he says that. It means a lot.
Because you went and traded for Michael Parsons, and the expectations for this team to sit where they've been in the past.
No.
I feel like in the Packers organization, we got Michael Parsons. We're competing for the Super Bowl.
That's what I'm thinking, Spike. I'm thinking they didn't do this just to get to the NFC Championship.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead,
if they had got Myles Garrett, then yeah. But it's like, come on, bro.
Myles Garrett that much better than Michael Parsons.
He is.
That ain't the conversation that we should be having.
My thing is this, little kid. I'm not trying to be on the fence with the Packers and what they can do. I'm just saying, if you're asking me, I expect the Packers and the Eagles to be in the NFC Championship game.
I would expect that.
But if you're saying to me,
Super Bowl, if you're
telling me that I have to place a bet to say they're now, because they got Parsons, they're guaranteed to go to the Super Bowl and represent the NFC, I can't say that because the Eagles are still there.
They should be.
No, they shouldn't be. They're better. Look, Ken. To answer your question, they are definitely better, but they are not on paper, right? Compared to the Eagles or some of the other NFC teams. With the other NFC teams, they're on par. They're not that much greater than.
There ain't no other NFC team that they can't compete with. Just the Eagles. The Eagles are a super team. We
100%
agree to that.
So yes, they are. I agree with that statement.
The Packers should fall right after them.
They're in that next group, and I would say they're at the top of that list, 100%. But the Packers, and this is how the disparity between AFC teams are and NFC teams are right now. The Packers, like Q said, I agree with him. Yes, they drafted what's the wide receiver? I like him. I can't remember his name. Matthew Golden, right? One of the best wide receivers out of the whole draft class. I think he's going to make an immediate impact. I think offensively, creatively, they're there. I don't have a question about that, but I do have a question about tight end. I do have a question about wide receiver two, the gadget guy. Like I don't think they have enough LaFleur guys yet offensively to be like, oh yeah, no, like pencil them in. Like it's them and the Eagles. They're not there yet.
I would, but to their point, why are they not there? Well, that's what I'm saying.
They got Michael Parsons just to win the division.
Yeah, like, no, what are y'all talking about?
Well, that's where you started.
They can win the division now.
Michael Parsons opens their championship window.
Yes.
That's what just happened here.
Yes.
They just leaped over the Commanders, in my opinion. Yes. And they just competed with the Lions now. The general public.
So a 4-year championship window is what you're saying.
No, potentially 5-6 years.
They got Parsons for 4 years. That's why.
I would say that with you, Ken. Yes, 4-year championship window. And if you look at last year, granted Jordan Love was hurt to come out the season or the start of that first the third of the season, but they lost to Philly twice. They lost to Detroit twice. They lost to, who else did they lose to? They lost to good teams. The Vikings.
They didn't have Parsons.
But to me that shows that they were just a good team, not a great team. Now this trade potentially makes them a great team. And to y'all point, expectations are risen. Yeah. But to me, what I've always told y'all, when you're competing for a long playoff run or a Super Bowl, you got to win your division first. That's how you know. Like, all right. We
got to
move forward.
Yo, bro.
Y'all have Philly as number one in the NFC.
Correct.
The Packers aren't number two to y'all.
To me, they
definitely are. But I think that, and I'm not even just bullshitting you as a fan. But if I was a Chiefs fan, if I was a Bengals fan, I would think that the gap is noticeable between the Eagles and other teams in the NFC until proven otherwise. So what I'm saying is this bumped the Packers into the conversation of you have the chance now to fight with the Eagles. They were to me, fourth or fifth in the NFC before this team, before this trade. So now that they're bumped up to two, I can't say, okay, now you got to go win it all, because they still have question marks that I have to see, just like people said.
I can say that. I can say that y'all have to go win it all because of the coaching. Like, he's one of the best coaches in the league. You have one of the best running backs in the league. You have one of the top tier new quarterbacks coming up in the league. You got Michael Parsons. We expect y'all to go win. I think that's where the Packers are at right now.
Right now.
Right now.
I mean, well, right now,
NFC Championship game. You like so anything so else? Super, anything else Bowl, to me for the Packers is unacceptable.
Is Super Bowl a bust for the Green Bay Packers?
NFC Championship game.
The NFC.
That's what he said.
That's what they said.
Spike. Yeah.
If they get to the Eagles and play them in the NFC Championship game, it's a cool season.
No, it's a fantastic season.
It's a fantastic. They've never been out the second round.
They beat them. If they beat them, it's fantastic.
Nah, if they get there, it's cool, man. This is the 4-year window. You don't like the Eagles getting to the Super Bowl. Like to win the Super Bowl, you're saying that they have to win it. It's like we got to the Super Bowl.
Not win it. At least compete for it. That's all I'm saying. All
right. Well, I think that's what me and Nick's saying too. So yeah.
Okay. All right. Well. Yeah, let me read some of the super chats. Donovan Mason, last thing, losing DeMarcus Lawrence and Mike in the same offseason is crazy.
I thought y'all still had DeMarcus Lawrence. That's what I was
going to ask. We ain't even going to harp on that. Damn.
DeMarcus Lawrence left and said, fuck us. He was like, y'all, he said, y'all never won a Super Bowl.
And Spike got the news and was like, my Shayla, goddamn.
Weedon boys, Packers are NFC favorites up there with the Eagles, which was a discussion we just had. A is Drew. Spike, the Cowboys still better than the Commanders.
And we just go yes. And Spike for the next couple of super chats.
I think I'm not confident on where the Cowboys will finish in the NFC East, but I do think they still have a better roster than the Commanders. The Commanders have won a lot of close games, a lot of Jalen Daniels magic last year. I don't know that they're going to be able to replicate that.
Yeah, what magic y'all got?
Well, none. Right. I have no consideration
Is there going to be a Netflix documentary on this shit?
Just
making sure.
Ariel Smoke, how about them Cowboys? CTE Jerry.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's not CTE, it's Dementia. Big Smoke. I know another thing Jerry was probably mad about. He didn't come up with that slogan either. Jimmy Johnson did.
Welcome to the Packer Barrel.
Weedon boys, Mulugetti is the best agent in the NFL. $47 million a year. Jeez.
I see people give him a lot of credit. I don't know where it comes from.
Damn.
I need to do more research.
Gotcha. Sebastian Pierre, Jerry's gonna send Spike's fandom into retirement. This almost broke.
Hey Ken. This was the thing. Other than Romo fumbling the snap for the kickoff, this was the closest thing to have me like I'm done. I'm out. I ain't rooting for nobody. I'm only watching Red Zone. I don't care about no teams. This was the closest thing when I got this
Spike
and people responded to me about this in my phone.
3 years from now. You're gonna be right back at it, bro. Even a bigger fan than what you was today.
It's a nice place to be, Spike.
Jerry doing what COVID did. He'll never get over it. Goddamn, like it's over.
I feel you, Rob Costa. Top of the evening, everyone. Got to be up at 5 a.m. So I'll be asleep real quick. This trade is mid for Green Bay and okay for Dallas. Have a great night, y'all. It's an interesting take.
It's great for Green Bay. It's mid for Dallas.
It's very Canadian.
Right. It's optimistic
They used to mid. Green Bay, right on brand for Jerry. Listening to his press conference, he's talking like he's a super GM and used the media to get what he wanted. He's definitely riding off of like the moves that were made in the past, and he thinks again that he's gonna find that magic again that he hyped off that documentary.
The level of delusion by Jerry is crazy. As a fan watching it and being like having to play through all this shit it's insane.
It is.
Yeah. Donovan Mason, he's below because there hasn't been any good coaching on any Dallas side of football. Defense been trash. Even with Micah, he can still develop to that level, just not yet. Boy, if they unlock another tier. Another level out of Micah in Green Bay.
There's another Micah.
They're going to unlock a different level out of Micah.
Because I want to see that.
He's going to have actual help.
And just off coaching, Spike. Like coaching could probably get something else out of him.
The coaches can actually coach versus some old nigga coming down from the bottom, from the top, and be like, hey, you know, like,
hey,
bro, what?
And somebody two dudes down from to his right is going to be balling.
I know.
He's going to be balling. So I think that's the biggest thing, right? We talked about that when Micah was in Dallas. It's kind of like if you double team, like you could like scheme Micah out because there is no other threat on that defense in that front seven. Now it's like, okay, well, what you gonna do? You gonna double team Micah and single Rayshon, or you gonna double Rayshon and single Micah? So yep. So just off of scheme alone, this unlocks Micah even more than when he was on Dallas. Yeah. Just off scheme.
Vibes and stuff. Even if Dallas flipped those picks for a great player, they still won't reach a conference championship.
It's possible.
I wouldn't say that.
The only reason is because they have Dak. Yeah, Dak is the third highest paid athlete on the planet last year. But Dak is beyond serviceable if you give him the weapons. Facts. Running game is still a little questionable. They got two wide receivers. I don't know if they're going to sign the dude that just came from Pittsburgh. You know, I'm bad with names.
George Pickens.
I don't know if they're going to have enough money to sign him. Or if they want to. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, this is an optimistic outlook for the Cowboys.
Okay.
Weedon Boys, horrible trade. This is ego move by Jerry. Those first round picks are essentially early second round picks for the best edge rusher under 30 years old.
100. That's the best edge rusher under 30.
That's a great super chat because I agree with all of that. Horrible trade.
Hate to see.
I don't know what y'all going to do with those picks. I don't know who's out there to be able to take over from Micah. Like, nah. I agree.
That's crazy.
Musa, Cowboys gave Dak and CD massive contracts just to punt on the season. Trying to justify this in any way is insane, and Dak has a no-trade clause.
Trust me, they're saying that Arch Manning on the way though, Spike on Twitter.
I don't even know if he's good, bro.
We'll know tomorrow. I mean Saturday. Yep.
It matters to me as a fan. It don't matter to Jerry as a name. Arch Manning in Texas would be crazy for Jerry, but. I don't know if he's good yet.
Yeah, he would eat that up. Donovan Mason, which of the Cowboys' issues were fits with this trade? They need a stronger defense, a better coach, and two first rounders don't fix that.
Oof. Smoking.
They don't fix it today.
Fix it with the player.
Smoking.
The player, the player that we receive, we don't have any interior defensive line help or interior linebacker help. So stopping the run is a big deal for us. And the dude that we got from Green Bay is really good at that. I don't know what that means. I don't know if it means we win one more game or if we're able to be a successful team from that. But it did help, but it ain't enough help for us to be like, oh, this was great.
Y'all got Kenny Smith or whatever his name is.
Kenny Clark.
Kenny Clark, okay. Yeah. Hey, it's Drew. JD5 is the best QB in the conference. Don't dismiss the Commanders.
That's not true.
It's cap, but all right.
Arguably.
Cap.
Musa, again, Packers are paying $100 million AAVE to two players, Love and Parsons. This was an all or nothing Super Bowl or bust move.
Okay.
It's worth it. Love has shown the flashes. Parsons has shown the flashes. If I got those two on my team, if I was a Cowboys fan and that was my quarterback and he was my defensive player, I would be happy. I'm happy. That's fine.
Last one, Josh Rose. Don't like it for Green Bay. Jordan Love is a bum dressed up by the media as a good QB. Damn. They are making moves as if they have the guy. I'm saying they don't.
That's pure haterism.
That's crazy.
I'm not mad at you. I respect the
Love is the dude. Love is
that dude. He's been a starter. He took them to the playoffs back-to-back years. I don't see how they
love that dude.
I don't see how you can watch the games with Jordan Love and like, oh, yeah, he trash or he ain't the guy.
Anyway. He makes too many bonehead mistakes.
Yeah. I get that, but he's a gunslinger. It comes with age.
Man, save it for Tuesday, y'all. Next Thursday.
Well, anyway, that's what we got, man. We had to hop on and do an emergency show because of the trade. Spike seems to be holding up well, so I think he dabbed his eyes a little bit before he got on. Maybe took a couple of swigs of the flask.
I'm gonna take a long walk myself with some recreational.
I'm gonna listen to some. I'm gonna listen to some Luther Vandross, trying to just clear my mind. Yeah,
some Carl Thomas emotional.
Yeah, some Carl Thomas emotional.
Put some Sade on. You gotta put some Sade on. You feel me?
I know you said you were mentioning this, Ken. And before we close out, as far as being a Cowboys fan, this was one of the worst. Thing like other than Romo fumbling in that snap in Seattle, where we should have went to the Super Bowl, and Dez doing the catch in Green Bay, this was right up there with all that.
This is Aaron Rodgers throwing it to Jared Cook.
That's the other one. Honestly, that was, to me,
even without the Dez thing, that was the best chance for the Cowboys to get to the Super Bowl.
Romo snap was the closest thing. If he could only have held that snap and they made that kick, he had to make that run, we would have went to the Super Bowl. Because the Seahawks are terrible. That was the only thing. Then Dez, and then like what you're saying with the other thing, Nick.
All right, man. Well, we'll leave it there. I'm sure a lot of news will come out over the next couple of days, and we'll definitely have an update the next time we hop on air. We appreciate you guys tuning in. And how about them Cowboys? We'll catch y'all later. We out. Peace.
Peace.